The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 14 after 8. Glad you're listening here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. No conspiracies, just lots of theories. No, not really. Boy, there's lots of conspiracies going on here. But we do have Kevin Starr at Oregon Firearms Federation. And, you know, I've been doing talk radio for like 20-something years. And, you know, you've been like solid on this. Although something tells me that the cartel, you know, the cartels and the, what they call the, what did Herman call them? The lobbies, you know, the lobbies. And
the parasites.
Yeah. They probably, they don't like you anymore, do you? Do they? They don't like you much, I guess.
Well, I mean, the caucuses don't like, well, I mean, the people who like me have all been basically thrown out of office.
Okay. All right. So, you know, Kevin Starrett endorses you, you're thrown out of office. Good. Good to know.
Pretty true. Pretty
okay.
True. You know, I used to have all the lawn signs I used to have. After the elections were over, I always kept them. It was my garden of dashed dreams, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, I know David Brock Smith was always making those accusations that you take, that you're getting rich off of this. And last time we checked, I think you got...
Sir. Well, yeah. I mean, his accusation was that I was getting paid, which, you know, that's actually true. You know, I have a job and I get paid. I don't get paid as well as he does. I don't get paid by the taxpayers and nonprofits who supposedly advocate for children. But, you know, I get paid to work 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the last 30 years.
And by the way, if David Brock Smith is angry with me bringing that up, you make $45,000 was your last salary from all.
That's correct. That was my big salary last year. And I'm more than happy to discuss this with David anytime because...
By the way, I would add that a fast food restaurant manager would make more than you in a decent situation. Okay? I just wanted to let people understand, you know, what's going on.
Well, listen, you know, look, Tampon Dave has a lot to answer for, you know. I mean, he really does. You probably didn't want to talk about that, but we could go on about Brock Smith forever and his windmills and everything
else. I know, the windmills and who's made in Japan, et cetera, et cetera. But let's set that aside, and let's talk about some good firearms news that you did that you did put out there. And with all of the lousy news and all of the chaos which is out there, and it's still there. Don't get me wrong. The chaos is still there. But, you know, let's talk about some green shoots when we see them. And it had to do with a decision on Measure 114, which has still been hanging over firearms owners in the state of Oregon, like a sword, the proverbial sword of Damocles hanging by a little silk thread, you know, ready to destroy the firearms industry and the people that use them.
Yeah, no question. I mean, 114 is out there. 114 is still technically law, although there's an injunction that prevents it from going into effect. But what happened was, as soon as Measure 114 was declared unconstitutional by a state judge, the state said, "Yep, well, we are determined to take away people's rights." As at the same time, you know, the borders are open and terrorists are streaming across our borders. We're going to make sure Oregonians are defenseless. So, of course, they filed an appeal. But then they did something unusual, and they went to the appeals court and said, "While we're litigating this, can you please put 114 into effect right this minute before you've even made a decision?"
And what would be really interesting about doing that is that that then destroys everything. So even if it got litigated later and was found unconstitutional, too bad, right? Everything's still destroyed.
Well, people have become criminals for owning modern firearms, and the dealers are out of business, which was always the intention of Measure 114.
Exactly.
So this is what, you know, Rosenblum and the Department of Injustice and the state of Oregon wanted to do, was make sure that as many people's lives were destroyed as they could, even before the courts had decided whether or not they were going to uphold Judge Roscio's decision. So what made this unusual is that typically when a request like this is made to stay and okay, so let's talk in English. The judge made a decision that's unconstitutional.
Right.
The appeal, the anti-gunners, the state wanted to overturn that and say, let's have this go into effect right away. Usually when a request is made for something like that, it's to uphold the status quo, which means we're not going to change the law while we're litigating it. It's been the law for a long time. It's worked out fine. Let's litigate it and then decide if the law should be changed.
Exactly. We're going to keep things in the status quo, but that's not what the state's lawyers wanted to do, right?
Right. They wanted to reverse the status quo, and that's the exact opposite of how this is normally done. So the appeals court, which amazingly I totally agreed with, said, no, that's not how it works. The status quo is that this law is not in effect. So let us leave it not in effect until it gets litigated, because the appeals court, much to its credit and my surprise, took the position that the gun owner side, our side, actually made some legitimate points deserving of being heard. And so they declined the state's request to screw Oregonians immediately, pending the outcome of the appeal. So that was, in fact, very good news, unexpected, and I'm, of course, thrilled by it.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we win in the end. We don't know. It's hard to say. No one can play a bet. But the fact that there were actually some honest judges there that were willing to honestly look at the law and say, no, we keep the status quo until this is litigated, that's progress, actually.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And I mean, look, every day that goes by that Oregonians' rights and liberties and property isn't stolen is a victory. Uh-huh. How this goes in the end is obviously going to be up to the courts. And of course, if the appeals court declares that it is in fact constitutional, then that will go back to the feds. It'll go up to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit will declare it constitutional, just like they're probably going to do in our federal case. And then it gets up to the Supreme Court, assuming that the Biden crime family regime has not stocked the court with Marxists, which is doing in all the lower courts. But right. None of this is over by a long shot. And in fact, every time there's a victory, a judicial victory for the Second Amendment, it's immediately stayed, held over, or stopped. I mean, there was the Washington State gun ban, Washington State magazine ban was declared unconstitutional for all of 88 minutes while the state immediately appealed, obviously before having even read the judge's decision in that case. So none of this stuff is going to be resolved anytime soon. And of course, the major danger now is that Americans and Oregonians there's so much peril, because the FBI saying, oh, there's going to be a massive terrorist attack. The one time I believe the FBI, mm-hmm. The borders are open, which means drug dealers, terrorists, Chinese soldiers are streaming across the border. They say they're going to kill us. The government is saying, fine, here's a debit card and a cell phone.
Come on in.
And we
right.
come on in while we disarm Americans. So it's a pretty terrifying situation. And every day that goes by that we can hold them at bay, obviously, is a good day.
You know, Kevin, about an hour ago, chances are you didn't hear it, but I talked with this Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, which means lefty, okay, a lefty guy. Dale Maharich, and he wrote this book, and it's an interesting book. Some of it I agree with, and a lot of it I don't, but still, I like to sometimes get out of my own silo, you know what I mean? And just listen to what somebody else has to say. He wrote a book called American Doom Loop, and we started talking about all the violence that was going on in Cleveland, which is near where I lived back in the 1970s. I didn't know about mob violence, things being blown up, and this and that and the other. And he was talking, oh, yeah, there was a lot of that going on. That made a lot of sense, but it doesn't make a lot of sense when we have school shootings, and then you can go down and get a firearm so easily to myself. And I'm thinking, you know something, Dale? You're still talking about an America in which there was a bit of a high-trust society, is what I was thinking, you know, at that time. And he's like one of those old-line liberals, really, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, but I mean, if you want to compare now to the 70s or whatever, it was infinitely easier for anyone to get a gun then than it is now. I mean, the incident of mass shootings has risen in direct proportion to the number of gun laws we've had. So you can't possibly say that mass shootings are the result of gun availability, as more and more restrictions have been placed on the ability of people to get firearms. Now, obviously, it's not restricting the ability of lunatics and criminals to get guns, and that's
yes.
what we're seeing in our federal case.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the mass availability of guns that's driving that. There are some other things going on, whether it is psychotropic drugs, and no one's responsible for anything, and mental health doesn't get treated at all in many cases. Fruitcakes that used to be. Am I allowed to say that still without being a Christian Christmas connotation? But fruitcakes that used to be institutionalized for life
right.
are now raving lunatics on the street, you know, and we think that's morally superior. That's what we do
now. Absolutely. You know, we institutionalize the craziest people. Okay, so there were abuses going on there. That's true. But it's not an improvement to take crazy people, put them on the street. We have this liberal mindset, which is what we saw in Broward County, Florida, where the person who shot up that school had a long history of violence and threats of violence and police responding to his house, but the school did not want to report it because it reflected badly on them.
Yeah, because it looks bad on the statistics because you're not doing your job. And, of course, did the system really want to deal with Cruz, who's who we're talking about there? No. They didn't want to do anything. We'll just ignore it and everything's fine. And then when the mass shooting comes, oh, guns, that's what did it. Right. That's what did it. We had no idea this was going to happen, right?
The liberal mindset is that nobody who does anything is actually responsible for their behavior. Nobody's responsible for anything. It's always somebody else. And, of course, in the civil world, it's whoever has the money who's responsible because we can sue them. But there's plenty of reasons. I mean, it's the drugs. It's the lockdowns.
Yeah.
It's the turning crazy people back out onto the street. And so, of course, that kind of stuff is going to happen more. At the same time that we've said to people in school, yes, you can have a gay rights club, but Christians can't meet. You know, Turning Point can't meet anything that talks about responsibility or religion. I mean, you know, I'm on the mailing list of every dirtbag politician in the state, right?
Right.
And right around Easter, I've got the endless stream of Easter emails from conservative Republicans. And every single one of them talked about bunnies and renewal and spring. Not one of them mentioned Christ or what Easter was. Not one of them. And okay, I don't care if you're Christian or not. Not my business. But if you're going to send me an Easter email and make a studious point of avoiding the mention of God, then I think that is something of a fraud. And this is what it is now. You can't talk about that stuff because it's not woke. It's why our legislators, so many of them, voted to ban ropes. And they were afraid to vote no on a stupid rope ban because they were afraid of being called racist.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, if you're going to be a good legislator these days, you have to be willing to be called racist or white supremacist or whatever the case might be. It's become almost a useless criticism, you know, these days, or just meaningless because it's used with everything. You know, I'm sure that me having oatmeal in the morning is probably white supremacy and racism.
Listen, literally said that drinking milk is racist. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And of course, if you bow to that stuff, which is what so much of Oregon has done. I mean, look.
But wait a minute. If I drink Mad Dog 2020 for breakfast, then am I engaging in cultural appropriation? What?
I presume so.
Okay. You know? All right.
But I mean, look, this is all going to escalate now because it's campaign season, and the stuff that we are being subjected to is typically mind-blowingly embarrassing. It's just everywhere.
All right.
You know, I mean.
I have to ask you one question, though, and this has to do with something that you sent me yesterday, and I'm sorry to make it sound like I'm pigpiling on Christine Goodwin, who is running for state senate district number 2. But I had a conversation with her on Monday, and you know,
I listened to that interview, and I am still trying to jumpstart my brain after it. I mean. I never heard a person. I mean, look, she is a master at absolute bullcrap.
Now you're going to say that I'm just in the tank, but I don't want to be in the tank.
Not at all. I think you did a brilliant job. The only question I would like to have asked, okay, is you can have as many homes as you want. That's fine. I think people should have homes all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, I wanted to start a foundation to fund people who were second homeless, you know, people who didn't have beach houses. So here's the deal. If you have, I mean, it was comical her talking about people having houses in Salem, but that's another issue. So if I had a house in Canby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I get another house at the beach. I don't rent a studio apartment in Wilsonville, you know, which is 5 minutes down the road. And so, like, are you telling me that so her website talks about what a brilliant businesswoman she is, how successful she's been. Mm. You know, she's made a lot of money, but she's living in a little studio on someone else's ranch like a Buddhist monk, right? So she hasn't denied that she has this other property outside the district, which I understand, not having been there, is quite nearby. But then she said, no, I really live here. I really live in this little studio. My husband is with me when he's with me. You know, it's like, come on. What is it about Republican women named Christine that makes us like my head spin? It's so ridiculous. You know, it's just absurd.
All right.
You know?
Okay. All right.
And then this
Kevin, I didn't want to talk about that. All right. What I wanted to talk about, though, was that I get this campaign mailer about her gun rights position on the Second Amendment. All right. And so I'm expecting to see that. I mean, you are the premier, the number one gun rights organization in the state of Oregon. Been here for a long time and used to be friendly with the Republican caucus until you didn't, until they didn't like you for whatever reason. So what I want to ask you, though, is supposedly she gets this rating from Oregon Gun Rights. What is Oregon Gun Rights? I've never heard of them, and I've been doing talk radio since 2003 here. What is Oregon Gun Rights?
Well, okay, so I saw that and I was like, I have no idea. Oregon Gun Rights is apparently not an organization. They don't have a web presence. They're not registered with the Secretary of State. Nobody I know has ever heard of them. And so what, you know, I actually got an email from someone today. I said, oh, I've heard of them, OregonGunRights.com. Well, oh. OregonGunRights.com is not an organization. It's the web address for the law firm of Gilroy Napoleon Short, which handled gun rights restorations. But their name isn't Oregon Gun Rights. Their web address is Oregon Gun Rights. So if that's what she's referring to, she's claiming to be endorsed by a web address. Now, whether or not that law firm endorsed her, which I don't know, but I highly doubt, and we'll have to wait and see who signed the SEL 400s. But it does strike me as really odd. But what's even, you know, equally bizarre is when she was on the radio with you, she made a comment, you know, first of all, it's always like, look at all I accomplished, while at the same time saying there's nothing we can do because the Democrats are in charge. But, oh, by the way, I got money from my district, so the fact that your rights have been stolen shouldn't bother you. But she made a comment about basically there are no votes that are not really no votes, which is exactly true.
Well, that is true. Herman would even talk about that. We talked about that on Tuesday. It happens.
Yeah. Any no vote by a Republican is essentially meaningless. And in fact, it's a yes vote because they were there. But then on her campaign materials, she says, look at me. I voted no on HB 2005. No, you voted yes because you were there. You gave them the quorum to pass that. You are responsible for people's gun rights being taken away. End of story, period, full stop. The only House rep who walked off that vote was James Heeb, who the cartel Republicans can't stop attacking. So spare me the crap, Christine. It's just, I don't really care where you live. I kind of doubt you and your husband live in a studio on a ranch when you own other houses. And, you know, they said, oh, yeah, legislators have houses in Salem. Yeah, Salem is not really that close to Southern Oregon. So having a house in Salem kind of makes sense. But renting a
room. But you're also not claiming the house in Salem is your district either. That's all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sorry, I get it. It's campaign time. But I mean, it's like I try to laugh at this nonsense, but it is absolute and complete crap. You know, don't tell me that you're a supporter of gun rights, claim you're endorsed by something no one has ever heard of, and then say, look at me, I voted no on a bill that by showing up you voted yes for. Boy, you got me started.
I was not planning on going that direction. But anyway, I think we're going to cut it short at this point. Or otherwise, I'm just, you know, anyway. Well, just this is the kind of world that we are living in right now, Kevin. It's an interesting time. And this is what Herman Berchiger and I were talking about the other day, is that we're in a different time now in which the lobbies are now fully involved in the primaries that used to be mostly in the general election. Would that be fair to say what was happening before, what used to happen?
Well, I think a lot of people did try to stay out of primaries because if you – let's say you're in a given party and you've got two people say you're Democrat. You've got two people running. You really don't want to take a position in the primary because if the other person wins, then you pick them off.
Yeah, you screw them over. Yeah, sure.
Parties have avoided doing that. But, you know, I mean, you get involved wherever you think you can make the most difference. And we've got involved in primaries many times. And very often the people we back don't win because the rest of the rich lobbies don't support the people we support. I mean, we see that happening now with James Heeb, who suddenly Christine Dreesen comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, this is my seat. I deserve this seat and I've got the most money. And James does not. But, you know, obviously we're going to support James in the primary because, amongst other things, he's not Christine Dreesen. But sure, I mean, I think the political landscape has changed to the point where more and more it is unquestionably open warfare. And everybody's rights and property and money are at stake every minute.
Yeah, but it concerns me, though, when the lobbies, and I was talking about this earlier this morning, Doug Casey had a great piece in Lou Rockwell about how, you know, essentially we're living in a form of American fascism. And they talked about how 80% of the political donations are not coming from small dollar donors, but they're coming from the lobbies, big business working hand in hand with state government, with federal government, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking we're going to have to step up our game. But Herman was telling me the other day that in Oregon, it's actually even more dominated by the lobbies because about 90% of campaign cash is coming not from we the people, but from we the lobbies in many cases. So that's an issue.
I mean, you can go look at the donations to any legislator by going into the Secretary of State's website and see, like, okay, this Republican Senate candidate got a whole bunch of money from Big Pharma that people were supposed to be cautious about. But obviously, the lobbies do control things because the lobbies have money. And when you talk to legislators or candidates, you know, privately behind the scenes, really, that's the main topic of conversation is what the lobby is doing, how the, you know, and the, like, so the business lobby, for example. Mm-hmm. So the business lobby will always support who's ever in power. They're not going to, they don't care. They don't have an ideological bent. They will support who's ever in power, hoping that those people will hurt them.
Whoever can push the button on a vote, right? That's who they're going to care about. All right. Okay.
Of course. And, you know, that's how the game is played. And, you know, that's nothing new, but obviously it gets worse and worse the further away that people get from their legislators, and the further away people, the more difficult it is for you to pay attention to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, you know, the people with money are going to manipulate things as much as they can.
And money is the mother's milk of politics. This is why I'm always concerning trying to extol listeners to please support the candidates directly that you like. Don't necessarily always have to go into a PAC or go. Certainly don't go into anything involved with WinRed because they take such a huge cut out of everything before it ends up getting to the candidate. Okay, you go to candidates and you support them directly. We really needed to get to the point where, you know, if we had maybe candidates depending on small dollar donations for 30% to 40% or even more of their campaign, there might be a little bit of a different behavior in the state legislature if that's the case. Because as it is right now, you have to, you know, dance to the tune of the people who are helping bring you in to office. That's just human nature here, Kevin. Fair enough.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's ever going to change, particularly because, let's face it, the people who have the ability, now they just made this campaign finance change in the legislature because they were afraid of a potential ballot measure.
Right.
But the legislature is never going to cut off its own oxygen, you know, voluntarily. Just like we're never going to see PERS reform as long as judges are receiving PERS, right?
I mean, of course. Hey, there's a contract, right? There's always a contract, no matter
right.
what. Sure.
The judges say you can't mess with a PERS contract, but if you have a contract with your landlord, we can completely overturn that and say you don't have to pay your rent.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's completely nuts, but absolutely true that the big money flowing in. And look, you know, bags full of cash coming in from drug dealers to Democratic candidates, they took the money, you know, and the policies were made to protect the drug dealers because, you know, bags full of cash went to Kotech and Hoyle, who's, you know.
And did they ever really turn, did they turn all that money back in, or was that only some of it that went back?
Oh, I don't think, I don't know exactly who's given back what. I don't know if anybody's given back all of it. Some of them may have, but certainly not all of them have given it back. And I mean, you look at what Val Hoyle, I mean, that's absolutely amazing, the little deal she was cutting with the drug dealers. And now, well, she doesn't want to turn over any of that information. Of course not, because we're going to set up an intern program for LaMotta.
Kevin, I got to tell you, this is why, this is great always to have you on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You know, I almost want to think of that old song, that old song from the 50s, you know, from the Champs. LaMotta. There we go. And working the aisle for cash, swiping the credit card down the back of their behind, okay? All right. On that note, my friend, you be
yes,
well.
Sir.
And thank you for the good news on Measure 114 and always for the interesting conversation on the Sidebar Talk, okay? Thank you.
You know me, Bill. I'm always good news all the time.
OregonFirearms.org, where Kevin is now writing children's books, I'm sure. It is 8:38.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Ooh, I like that tune. Ace of Spades. It's 20 before 9, and what we're going to do is the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Diner 62, by the way, senior and kid menus there. They got a couple of pork chops and eggies and an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekends. Oh, man, I got to tell you, the food there is so good. They gave me a great, great Reuben last week and the sweet potato fries and so much more. And, gosh, I'd like to get you into that and maybe get yourself a cup of clam chowder tomorrow. And what we're doing today is celebrating National Lineman Day. Lineman Day. Yeah, this is Lineman Day, you know, in which the people that climb the poles and fix the power, fix the old phone lines or cable, whatever it is, people that climb up on the poles, it's National Lineman Day, and we have some trivia about linemen. We're going to do that next. 770-563-3, 770-KMED. If you haven't won in the last 60 days, you could win it right after news, okay?
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
You haven't missed your opportunity to save at Garrison's remodeling sale at the Crater Lake Highway Showroom. Well, I mean, the remodeling has begun, and we still have furniture to sell, so we put a giant tent in the parking lot and moved a ton of inventory outside. And we're highly motivated to sell because we don't want to move it back. Everything's marked down lower than I wanted, but hey, we got to get this furniture out of our life and into yours. The remodeling sale, inside and out, at Garrison's home on Crater Lake Highway. Garrison's.com.
If you're an experienced technician, why would you want to work for Kelly's Automotive Service? Because you align with our values. Yes, we're one of the top paying shops in the Valley, and we've won a lot of awards, including one of the top 100 places to work. But we want people to come and work with us because who we are aligns with who they are. Because knowing you're part of something bigger really matters. Please drop off your resume or give us a call. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Getting ready to refinance or sell your property? Once you get the process started, there'll be appraisals and inspections and, yes, well tests. So get ahead of the game and get your water tested now. You'll get the immediate peace of mind that comes with knowing what's in your water, plus you'll be able to close the deal faster. The team at Grants Pass Water Lab are ready to help. Look us up online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Former President Trump in court this morning, jury selection in his New York criminal trial. One of the jurors chosen to hear the case dismissed after voicing doubt about her ability to be fair and impartial. And the status of a second New Yorker picked for the panel is now in limbo amid concerns that some of his answers in court may not have been accurate. A widely followed economic barometer has fallen. The Conference Board's index of leading indicators slid 0.3% last month. In February, the index had posted its first gain in 2 years. And the spring home selling season is off to a sluggish start. Used home sales down 4.3% in March from the month before. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is dismayed that Senate Democrats have dismissed two articles of impeachment against the Homeland Security Secretary without a trial. The Dow's up 271 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Yes, indeed, National Lineman Day on the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And we have a quiz about linemen.
I am a lineman for the county.
Oh, what a great song, huh? Great song.
And I drive the main road.
That was a huge hit in 1968 for the late Glenn Campbell. Jimmy Webb was the songwriter for that. And that's the question we're going to ask about. And let me get V on the line here. Hello, V. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you remember Wichita Lineman? Don't know if you're old enough to have remembered that song or not.
I may have stolen a record from my older brother. I'm not sure at this point.
That's okay. That's all right. You know, V, it was just a huge hit in 1968. Huge hit in 1968. And Jimmy Webb, well, the song was basically the imagery of the lonely lineman on the Kansas-Oklahoma border, right? And he's thinking about his love and it was just iconic, really was. Now, Jimmy Webb, the songwriter, though, was not happy how this song ended up getting recorded by Glenn Campbell. Like I said, it was a huge hit, though. But why was Jimmy Webb unhappy with Glenn Campbell having done this song? All right? Let me know. Was it A, he wanted Kris Kristofferson, not Glenn Campbell, to record the song, so it could have been that? Was it B, he wanted to record the song himself and make a hit with it? Producer said, nope, give it to Glenn. Number three, he wanted the song performed much more slowly than Glenn sang it, kind of like a real slow ballad. Or was it D, he was upset because the song wasn't finished? Or was he five, angry because the deal they cut, the royalty that they'd make on the song, was too low? It's one of those five, but he was not happy with Wichita Lineman. What do you think?
I'll have to go with E.
You're going to go with E, angry because they're thinking they're going to rip him off. Well, that might have been for other deals here, V. Not this time. I appreciate you trying. Let me go to Carol. Carol's up here. Hello, Carol. How you doing?
Good morning.
Carol, we're talking about Jimmy Webb being all hot and bothered because Glenn Campbell recorded Wichita Lineman, right? So why was he unhappy? A, he wanted Kris Kristofferson, not Glenn Campbell, to record the song. B, he wanted to record it himself. C, he wanted to perform more slowly. Or D, he was upset because it wasn't finished. What do you say?
Oh, I'll go with Kris Kristofferson.
Kris Kristofferson sounds good. He was a big guy back then. No, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong one. Sorry.
Okay.
I meant
okay.
Sorry. Another time. You got to try again. We're getting it whittled down because now we have Bruce. Bruce, how you doing?
And the Wichita Lineman
is still on.
I'm not going to. I won't sing it.
Okay. So, Bruce, did he want to record the song himself and make a hit with it? Did he want to perform more slowly? Or was Jimmy Webb all hot and bothered because, well, it wasn't finished? What do you think?
Yeah, it just wasn't finished yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And that
absolutely.
And that part of the song that said, "And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time," and the Wichita Lineman is still on the line. You know what Jimmy Webb said about this? He said that was the biggest, awfulest, dumbest, most obvious false rhyme in history. So he hated. He hated that part. He's thinking, I'm a hack for having written that. And of course, we, the people, are thinking, oh, that's a beautiful line, man.
Of course.
You know, and the funny thing, the backstory on this, Bruce, Jimmy didn't hear back from Glenn Campbell, and he thought that Glenn didn't like the song. And what happened, though, is that Glenn and Al DeLore, who did all the, he was the producer and did all the instrumentation on it. Glenn tells him that, well, we recorded the song and we love it, Jimmy. And Jimmy said, but I didn't finish it. And Glenn said, well, it's finished now. But there was always going to be a third verse of that. And then he was probably going to do something with that. And I want you all time in the Wichita Lineman. So interesting story.
Maybe it wasn't even in Wichita.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that Glenn and the producer did come up and say, hey, Jimmy, could you write another one of those city songs? How about a different city? And then Jimmy said, nah, we did the By the Time I Get to Phoenix. I don't want to go there. You know, and so that was pretty funny stuff. So, Bruce, you're going to Diner 62. Hang on. We're going to take care of business and just have a good time with you. All right. This is the Bill Myers Show.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
One of each, Forte VIN 770-783 MSRP 21-645-3500-2, Sol VIN 235213 MSRP 22-210-3500-2, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
We have some real issues here in Southern Oregon, and when it comes to the state senator to represent us, there is only one clear choice, Christine Goodwin. Christine is a strong, vibrant, get-her-done conservative who won't leave Southern Oregon behind against those far-left Portland politicians. Matter of fact, as representative, she has the number one conservative voting record of all time by nationally recognized CPAC in the legislature among senators, representatives, and congressmen serving over 2 years. Christine helped recriminalize hard drugs, strengthen laws for our police, and even worked to help Texas in trying to close the southern border. Hey, Republicans, make sure you vote Christine Goodwin for state senate in the primary. She's a winner, and let's back a winner. This former high school teacher, small business owner, commissioner, and school board chair knows how to get it done on all levels. Sending her to Salem to battle those urban politicians is the best thing we can do. Vote Christine Goodwin for state senate. Paid for by Goodwin for Oregon, PAC ID 21708.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. From salad wraps to fresh baked breads and soups, pop by and enjoy a cardamom vanilla latte or peaches and cream white mocha. Delicious taste sensations that can't be beat. Artisan Bakery will make the perfect sandwich or pastry tray for your next event, party, celebration, or occasion. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Okay, wait a minute. Nothing wrong with Jackson Browne. He's an idiot of a human, but his songs are good. I'd rather play Glenn Campbell. I'm going to bring that back again. Where is that that Still on the Line song? I got to find that part. Oh, there it is. There it is. I found it.
And the Wichita lineman.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Is still on the line.
In this case, we're going to the Boise lineman who is still on the line. I don't know if he's in Boise or not. That would be Super Dave. Used to be from Oregon. You're in Idaho now. What's it like in the land of the free, huh? What do you say?
You know, we woke up this morning to a chilly 20 degrees. We had snow most of the day yesterday. It didn't stick. But yeah, spring is still appears to be in the offing.
Very good. Glad to hear it. Yeah. So what's on your mind, SD?
Okay. So this brought about something in my mind. I'm thinking, this has all happened before. This Christine Goodwin thing and having a supposed house in the district. So I got on the old Google monster and looked it up. We had a senator or a congressman, a political wannabe, Wes Cooley, back in 1992, who mounted a campaign for state senate. Questions about Cooley's truthfulness marked his first campaign in Central Oregon. His home in Alfalfa was a few miles outside the boundary for Senate District, but Cooley set up a trailer on his friend's property inside the district and claimed it was his home.
So these questions then about someone lives in the district, this is nothing new. It's been a long time.
Right.
A lot of
what
stuff
was once old is new again.
I guess the question is, though, it's how you handle it. And I imagine a lot of this could be technically legal, or illegal as far as the Secretary of State's are concerned. And it could be. Could be just that, right? But yeah. I just don't know if Maybe voters have tired of that. I don't know. Maybe not.
It's the frog and the scorpion.
Yeah.
Goodwin thinks that she's, you know, this nice frog. Give him the scorpion a ride across. He's going to get across. She's going to get stung. And she's just going to make Republicans look bad again. That's the way it works. Huh. Politics in Oregon.
All right.
That's why I'm in Idaho.
Oh, yeah. But everything's clean in Idaho, right?
Hmm. No.
Okay. From. All right. It's human. Well, the problem with our political system is that the political system is staffed with we pesky humans. Well, sometimes we do the right thing. Sometimes we don't. Just the way it is. Human nature, right?
Correct.
Where it
Correct,
goes. My friend. So it's our job then to suss it out. There we go. All right. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. I don't know who's here. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Holly Wharton from Josephine County.
All right, Holly, what's up?
Well, we're having sponsoring a meet and greet tonight at the headquarters featuring our endorsed candidates. Because these face-to-face meetings are important. It's going to be tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at our headquarters. So Dr. Noah Robinson, who's got a Ph.D. in chemistry, is our pick for Senate District 2. He's running against Christine Goodwin, who seems to be quickly falling out of favor. Dwayne Yunker, incumbent, is our pick for representative of District 3. He'll be there. Ron Smith and Nathan Gonzalez are running against one another for Herman Bershiger's position for District 3. They will both be there, both good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Citizen's choice on that one. And Chris Barnett, who's running for Dandy Young's slot, position 2, he's actively serving. He's the region command chief in the Air Force Auxiliary Civil Patrol. So he's got a meeting tonight.
Yeah, I also, and by the way, so you got this meet and greet. When's that going to be at the party headquarters?
The meet and greet is tonight, 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay. And then tomorrow night in Jackson County Republican Party is holding like a meet and greet. This is going to be at the Criterion. Got some information on that. See if I can bring that up. It's going to be at the Criterion. I just want to make sure everybody knows where these things are going on. Tomorrow night, Criterion. 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock, and they'll have Christine Goodwin and Noah Robinson, and also Diane Linthicum and Dave Hensley, who are battling over in District 28 in Klamath Falls. Okay, so it's kind of a meet and greet there too. Just want to make sure everybody knows about these things. Okay, all right,
perfect.
All right, hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I think I'm going to have to talk with Randall and get him on and make sure. Maybe both the Republican Party chairs will have them on again tomorrow. Just as a reminder, so today, meet and greet, Joe County, and then in Jackson County tomorrow, 6 till 8 at the Crate. It is 8:56.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
John Giles writes me email of the day, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. Dr. Steve Nelson, I was trying to get the doctor out there, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. He says, hey, Bill, Republicans demeaning other Republicans is the reason the Democrats win. I've not made a decision on voting locally yet. Our infighting turns me off. How about having a Christine supporter on? And we should concentrate on Wyden or Golden. The easy shot is Biden and our economy, removing the homeless, the border, our economy, joining Idaho. If we don't change, we're going to lose this election. Well, part of it, John, is that part of the primary battle is that it's sussing out honesty. And sometimes politics is a blood sport. And you have to try to determine who is being truthful, who may be a little less than truthful, a lot of distortion. It's what happens in the political world. And by the way, as far as Christine supporters, I do not chase candidates. I do not look for candidates to interview. You have to reach out to me. Email bill@billmeyershow.com. Believe me, I don't need candidates to be able to do a talk show. But if you want to do that, Christine supporters, call me up, okay? Thanks.
Johnson Builders will be at the Southern Oregon Home Show Friday through Sunday, May 3rd through the 5th. And they're looking forward to talking to you about your property and the building you need. Garages, shops, barns, residential. There's no limit with Johnson Builders' affordable post and frame construction expertise. Explore the possibilities at the Southern Oregon Home Show. Or if you can't wait to get special home show pricing right now, visit Johnson.com.